Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. Let's go. Wait, see.
Rookie Fevers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever. I am here with somebody I am very excited to share the airwaves with, the podcast waves, Kyle Yates, at Kyle NFL, here to talk about a little bit of Breece Hall. Before that, I'm going to let you explain a little bit, because you've had quite like the change in your fantasy life, and should we say just life recently. So we have the fantasy playbook. It seems like a lot is going through that now, the Patreon. You're on TikTok with that. Tell us a little bit about the fantasy playbook and where to find you and what that offers, because it's a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, happy to be here recording with you. Excited for this little breakdown here. So those who are familiar with my work know that I was at Fantasy Pros over the past couple years. Ended up leaving there in January and set out to launch my own fantasy football company. So called The Fantasy Playbook. You can find it over wherever you find podcasts, The Fantasy Playbook Podcast. Over on YouTube, youtube.com/TheFantasyPlaybook. The Patreon offering some exclusive written content there as well, patreon.com/TheFantasyPlaybook. So just a lot going on. It has been crazy here as we launch and then try to just, dive into all this stuff with the rookies and getting ready for Dynasty rookie drafts on top of like still trying to get all the film work done for that and the rankings and keeping those up to date on top of running an actual company. It's a whole different spiel there, but no, I'm absolutely loving it.
Yeah, I'm loving it. It's been great watching your journey and growth. So like I said, very excited to have you on. We're going to talk about some Breece Hall today, the player profile. And Kyle agreed to come on and chop it up with me and talk about him. So we've got, I'm a little conflicted. It doesn't mean much, but 6'1", but 5'11" through the combine. We lost 3 pounds. How did you feel about Breece Hall through the combine? And do you feel like, were you excited about him before that?
Yeah, so I think with Breece Hall, like the first thing that you have to talk about is where before the combine, because I think that it's split into two different camps with Breece Hall, because you had prior to the NFL combine and then after the NFL combine. Before the NFL combine, I was actually a little bit lower on him than the consensus. I had him at RB4 going into the combine, and that was with purely my tape evaluations. With Breece Hall, you come into his tape or come out of his tape, excuse me, incredibly impressed. You look at his tape and you say that he is incredibly solid across the board. Like there's a very few things that as part of his game, as far as characteristics or traits that you say, like he needs to work on that, right? Like there's very few things. He's one of the guys that you feel like you can plug into any NFL system and that you're going to get a very high floor out of him right away. But then there was a little bit of concern that I had with his overall athleticism. There were several instances on tape where you see him get caught from behind by players that in either the Big 12 or like these players that really shouldn't be freak athletes that are running, 4.3s or whatever, that are consistently tracking him down. So the breakaway speed and the burst really, really wasn't there. So that's part one. Then you get into the NFL combine and he shows up here. And if you would have asked me like what Breece Hall would have run in the 40-yard dash at the NFL combine, I would have told you like 4.66. Like that's probably what I would have estimated. We saw Josh Jacobs, Najee Harris, like both of those guys kind of running in that same range in the 40-yard dash. And I would have said Breece Hall was probably slower than both those guys on tape. And then we get to the NFL combine and the guy comes out here and runs a 4.39 40-yard dash. And it was just like, what in the world? Where did that come from? So I had the questions after his tape of saying, okay, I didn't see that breakaway speed. I didn't see that top tier athleticism, but then that showed up at the NFL combine. And good for him. Like it's not on his tape, but good for him for training the right way that he needed to, cutting down a little bit, improving that long speed, and he aced the pre-draft process. And that really, really helped his draft stock because, like I said, when you have the really, really high floor across the board and all the other key traits that you look at, like contact balance, vision, like these other things that make up an NFL running back, Breece checks those boxes. But I didn't have the boxes checked for top tier athleticism. Now we do. So Breece Hall, after the NFL combine, definitely solidified his status as a top tier running back in this class for me. But going into the NFL combine, I did have some questions.
So I'm curious, you mentioned draft capital a little bit within that. And I'm seeing mocks, and this is something that Finero and I brought up on Rookie Fever a couple weeks ago. You're seeing mocks with him anywhere from mid to late first to the end of the second round in the NFL drafts. Where do you like have a pulse on it or feel like he actually goes in the NFL draft?
Yeah, so I think as we look at like, and it's different class to class, right? And especially because need for the running backs is going to push up players up the board, right? So it's so difficult to say like, well, Jonathan Taylor went at the beginning of the second round, so Breece Hall is going to go in that range too, right? Like, it's very difficult to say that because situation varies year after year. I think that Breece Hall, from a pure talent standpoint, is going to be someone that I think is going to go mid second round. Like, I think that's where he is going to go. You could see an NFL team like the Pittsburgh Steelers last year with Najee Harris just say, we love Najee Harris. We think he's the key to unlocking our offense. And so we're going to take him. And I think now we can look back and say, like, he wasn't the key to unlocking your offense. Maybe you should have taken an offensive lineman there. I'm not taking anything away from Najee Harris. But so with Breece, I think that he's someone that you could see going early second round, mid second round. I think that's kind of the range that you can expect to see him go off the board. That first round conversation and discussion with him, like, and people just say like Buffalo. That's really where like it's Buffalo in the first round.
It sounds fun, Kyle. Come on.
Yeah, it does. It does. Don't get me wrong. But like, I think if he doesn't go to Buffalo, then where else is he going to go in the first round? So I don't think that Buffalo is going to look at that situation and say Breece Hall is the one thing that's going to stand in our way from continuing to compete deep into the playoffs. I think that they could just wait that out. You get a offensive lineman, you get a defensive lineman, a premier position there, maybe even a wide receiver to continue building. And then in the second round, you come back, and if Breece Hall isn't there, then you get a Kenneth Walker, you get an Isaiah Spiller, right? Like, you, there are other options that you can turn to. Even later on, you get a Zamir White out of Georgia. So I know that's a long-winded answer to just say, like, Breece Hall, I think early to mid-second round is probably when we can expect to see him go off the board.
Yeah, no, I think you nailed it. And that's kind of it, too. And you mentioned Jonathan Taylor, but in that same draft class, we had Clyde Edwards-Helaire drafted at the end of the first round, and then Swift drafted just two picks later to Detroit. And then Jonathan Taylor is the third running back off the board in that draft class. I don't know, man. This is a tough one. I'm really excited to see where he does go and what kind of draft capital does go into him, because I think that he is going to be one of those players that could help us in year one. In a super flex rookie draft, is he year 101, or how do you feel about that with Malik Willis?
Yeah, so I had a question in the premium Discord. Someone posted this over at the Fantasy Playbook. We got a premium Discord going, and someone asked about the 101 this year and whether they should trade down. I think it was to accept like the 105 and a 23 first round pick to move down from the 101. And I was fine with it. I think that that's a good move to make, because when you have so many guys that kind of are in that same tier, there's no specific standout option that we can say, like, it's Trevor Lawrence last year in a super flex. You know, it's like 101, lock it in. That's the guy. We just don't have that this year. Where you've got Breece Hall is probably the guy that most people are going to look at. I wouldn't be taking him at the 101, but then you could make a case that Treylon Burks, even after a somewhat, you know, quote unquote, disappointing NFL combine, could still be the 101. You've got, depending on landing spot, any of the wide receivers, if it's Garrett Wilson, you know, he could go at the 101. You've got the quarterbacks. If you feel confident in the upside of Malik Willis, the quarterback out of Liberty, maybe you want the high floor. You want to take Kenny Pickett out of Pitt. There are like five or six players that we could say and legitimately make a case to be the 101 in Superflex leagues even. So I think I'm not necessarily going to like plant my flag and say like, this is the guy that I would be taking. You know, Breece Hall is the guy that I'd be taking at the 101. It's going to be landing spot dependent, man. I think that landing spot this year, more than anything, is going to mean everything. Where even with Kenneth Walker, Breece Hall, like, these guys, landing spot is going to play a role in where exactly they go as far as end of, you know, after the draft rankings.
I agree. Even with the quarterbacks, and especially in a super flex format, there could be a spot where a quarterback lands and you're all of a sudden like, wow, we have to really consider moving him up
rookie
draft boards quite a bit, actually. So is there a landing spot for Breece Hall? And I know this is so tough, Kyle, before the NFL draft, but is there a landing spot that you could foresee just being like, that's my 101? Like, holy cow, can't. And we mentioned Buffalo, but Buffalo does seem like low-hanging fruit, to your point.
Yeah, I think that it's interesting because as you look across the landscape of the NFL now, and we still have like several key free agent running backs hanging out there. You've still got Melvin Gordon. Yep. There are still several players that we could say, like, they could end up in this spot and fill that hole where a team now doesn't have to look at drafting a running back in the first or second round, which could push that need down, which goes back to our earlier conversation of where does Breece Hall go? It's so dependent upon the needs. But, like, you look across the NFL, Atlanta, Houston, maybe Buffalo, maybe Seattle if they want the long-term answer. If Rashad Penny doesn't, you know, it can't stay healthy, and who knows what's going on with Chris Carson. But, like, it's Houston and it's Atlanta are the two spots that we say, like, they have a need at the running back position. And now you can maybe say with Houston signing Marlon Mack, maybe they don't need that position, right? Like, there's a lot here where the running backs, there's a lot of depth in this class, a lot of really solid players, but not very many spots where we can see them walking into fantasy relevant spots where they are suddenly a top 15 guy. So I know it's low hanging fruit, but like Buffalo is absolutely the spot with Breece Hall that we say,
yeah,
he is now the 101, clear 101. If he gets drafted to Houston, I don't know. And we see, you know, Kenneth Walker go to Buffalo, or we see Kenneth Walker go to even Atlanta. Like, in those situations, I think that it's going to be pretty close to say Breece Hall could be the 102 and it could be Kenneth Walker at the 101. So yeah, it's landing spot this year is everything, man.
Yeah, that's spicy. I can think of like the Jets in Miami as well as a couple teams maybe that you didn't mention that I would love to see a running back. I see your Waddle jersey in the back there, and I think that that would help Waddle out a lot, as well as Tyreek Hill, and take some pressure off Tua.
Right, but it goes to, like, really quick, it goes to the point of, like, where I was talking about, where these other options, like, Miami just paid big money to Chase Edmonds. They brought in Raheem Mostert, you know, so it's like, and then you have still Miles Gaskin, Savon Ahmed, you know, they re-signed, like, I think Duke Johnson's still on the roster. You know, like, there are so many running backs there where do they need a running back? In New York, the Jets, like, sure, they could absolutely draft a compliment to Michael Carter, but they love Michael Carter, you know, so it's like, are they going to be the team that just completely buries Michael Carter because, you know, they draft Breece Hall? I just don't see that happening either. I think that would then be a split rotation backfield, and that might push Breece Hall down from that 101 because he's not going to see as much work as he would in Atlanta, Houston, whatever the case may be. So yeah, it's just, it's really interesting, man. These teams that did a lot of work in free agency to bring in other running backs, it clouds the situation here for these incoming rookie running backs.
If we were to, I don't think this is going to be hard for you because you mentioned it at the beginning of the show, but if we went back pre-combine, what were some of the concerns you were actually seeing when you were watching that tape that you didn't have him quite as high?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, the top-tier athleticism, right? The ability to, once he finds and gets free at the second level, for him to be able to hit that extra gear. That's really what you're looking at. Let's go back to Jonathan Taylor's tape, because Taylor had the size that Breece Hall does, right? They compare very similarly as far as body type. But the difference between Jonathan Taylor and Breece Hall was that when Taylor got to that second level, he had that extra gear to click into that was able to break safety's angles. And when you have a safety coming downfield, they're measuring, they're gauging where that running back's going, and they're saying, based on the speed, this is where I need to be able to meet them, right? But the running back can destroy angles, can break angles by hitting that extra gear of athleticism and then throwing that angle off, where then they're able to get around him. Jonathan Taylor was able to do that routinely. He's hit the second level, he's gone. Breece Hall wasn't able to do that. And even with Hall in between the tackles, the ability to have that short area burst, which again destroys angles and breaks angles for linebackers, defensive linemen, in that short area of the game, Breece Hall doesn't have that. So it's kind of like where a defender is able to easily gauge where Hall's going to be and meet them there. Now, he combines that with great contact balance, which can then evade tackles, and he can break tackles pretty easily here. So that at least is another box that's checked in his camp. But the big thing was the athleticism, and that's what you see in other players in this class, like Kenneth Walker, who I have at RB1 in this class. I have Breece Hall at RB2, Kenneth Walker at RB1, because he has the elite traits of, now we know, the speed at 4.38, but then change of direction and that elusiveness, that contact balance to be able to break tackles. Kenneth Walker has those in elite ways. Breece Hall, I don't think, has an elite trait. I think that he's good across the board. I think he's really good across the board. But I don't know if I can point to his game and say, that is an elite trait. That's what puts me, or has me put him at RB1 in this class, solidified, locked it in. I think that he has a really high floor. I just don't think that he's ever going to be that type of guy that has the top five ceiling. Whereas with Kenneth Walker, based on his elite traits, if he falls into the right spot, I think he could have that top five ceiling.
I love it. And that even makes me, I mean, we brought up Jonathan Taylor quite a bit there and a couple different comparisons. To say the least, it sounds like, I'm going to speak for you here, the community's got a little bit ahead of themselves on Breece Hall to put him in that area. I mean, you hear him mentioned with Jonathan Taylor now, and not in the way you just did. Yep. You hear people just be like, yeah, just trade for the 101, you know, get a little extra on top. And it's like, no, like Jonathan Taylor has been exceptional for our fantasy teams, and there's no reason to give away that proven talent, especially without a landing spot to Breece Hall.
You're absolutely right. The way that the community talks about Breece Hall and the way that they have, I got like destroyed on Twitter for posting my grades and saying that Breece Hall was my RB4 based on tape evaluations. I got destroyed because the consensus groupthink was that Breece Hall was this surefire lock him in with the Jonathan Taylor. And then after the NFL Combine, people were like, okay, now he's Jonathan Taylor 2.0 because of the athleticism, but you got to go back to the tape. And you got to be able to say like that wasn't there. That play speed wasn't there. Again, good for Breece. Well done. Like you aced the pre-draft process and you were able to cut down your 40 time to really, really bring some eyes to you. But I just don't think that he deserves to be talked about in this light of Jonathan Taylor 2.0 and a lot of these other running backs that have come out. Like I would take Najee Harris over Breece Hall. I would take these other guys that we've talked about as the RB1 in their classes in years past and say, yes, give me them over Breece Hall. Whereas a lot of people are saying it's Hall over a lot of those, over Najee Harris, over the DeAndre Swifts, you know, over these other guys coming out as prospects. And I'm not in that camp.
Yeah, it's crazy. Some of the like low talk you get on Najee Harris after last year, setting a rookie record for the most rookie touches without a fumble ever. Like he had an exceptional year. And I agree with you, the team maybe could have done some different things, but how they used him was great for our fantasy teams. And now people are like, no, you want 101, like you want plus on top of Najee Harris to get my 101. It's like, wow, like what is happening here in a rookie class that we've been speaking of as rather weak compared to some of the other ones. Mm-hmm. Now we're just ready to give away all the assets. Crazy how that works. You mentioned Kenneth Walker as somebody maybe you're a little bit higher on. Who's somebody in this class you're lower on than consensus?
Lower on than consensus. I think, are we talking specifically at the running back position or wide receiver?
Any position you want, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that as we look at, let's go running back here, and let's go with Rashad White, the running back out of Arizona State. I think that White is a good running back. I think that he falls into the camp of same criteria as Brian Robinson, Damian Pierce out of Florida. I mean, I've got like Zamir White, Jerome Ford, Zamir White out of Georgia, Jerome Ford out of Cincinnati. I've got them well above Rashad White in my rookie running back rankings. Whereas with White, even looking at DLF, Dynasty Leagues Football's rookie ADP, mm-hmm. Rashad White's going as a first rounder. He's going off the board as RB4. And that is way too high for a player who I just do not see as a game changer, right? Someone who is going to be a locked in fantasy stud. I think he's a day three pick in the NFL draft. I think that he's got some traits that you look at and you say, yes, he could be a really, really high level backup, but that's not enough to separate into that starter tier where I look at Damian Pierce, the running back out of Florida. I say he's got a lot of traits that make him a high level backup. Even going down the board into like Brian Robinson, like I mentioned, out of Alabama, even Hassan Haskins, Devontae Price, these other running backs in this class, you say they are all really high level backups. There's nothing in Rashad White's tape for me that says he deserves to be in that locked in top five, you know, as going as the RB4 off the board in rookie ADP. I don't see that.
Yeah. So you're saying more he should be lumped in with that next group of guys that are the quote unquote backups.
Yeah, and I've said this on my podcast and a lot here, where I've said, like, once you get past Breece Hall, Kenneth Walker, and maybe you throw Isaiah Spiller out of Texas A&M into that conversation, I think those guys are starters, locked-in starters. They're going to get the opportunity in their respective backfields. After that, I wouldn't be surprised if my RB4, which is Zamir White out of Georgia, if my RB4 ends up as my RB10 after the NFL draft because he fell into a bad landing spot. I wouldn't be surprised if my RB9, my RB10, ends up at RB4 because they fell into a great landing spot, right? Like landing spot outside of the top three running backs this year is everything. I alluded to that earlier. Like that is absolutely, absolutely everything. And that's going to shake up a lot where all these guys are really just in one massive tier.
Yeah, I love it. This is that moment where We need something you're maybe doing right now with your teams, or something you're going to be trying to do within your rookie drafts, a little bit of dynasty advice, just something that Kyle is doing to tweak some of his teams.
Yeah, so I think as we look at, let's talk about the 101. Like we talked about that a little bit earlier. Let's go back to that really quick. Like if I have the 101, I'm trading down. I'm trading down because people are, I think, in that group think, you know, mindset where they're thinking that the 101 is worth sending away multiple first round picks for because it's Breece Hall. And I just don't think that's the case. Whereas last year too, I was on record, trade down from the 101 with Trevor Lawrence. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback prospect to come out since Andrew Luck. I thought that was Joe Burrow. I had Trey Lance above Trevor Lawrence last year coming out. Like I was saying, like if I can get that value, if I can take advantage of that where people are, I think, incorrectly thinking about Trevor Lawrence as the 101, locked in, sending away multiple first round picks for in a super flex league, trade down. Take advantage of the depth in this class. Get yourself Justin Fields or Trey Lance at the 103 plus multiple first round picks to continue building around. I think in this year, if you have someone in your league who is thinking that Breece Hall is worth the 101 locked in, then I think that you entertain that offer and you trade down and you continue to build up solid depth and take advantage of a really deep wide receiver class. Or you get Kenneth Walker, you know, you only go down to the 103, you get Kenneth Walker there, or even Isaiah Spiller, because I think he's going to fall into a good spot from a landing spot perspective. Then great, you take that and you build up depth around it. So yeah, I think that's just something that I'm entertaining right now. If I've got that 101 pick, I'm definitely entertaining the idea to trade down.
I love it. Now, is that a move that you're trying to make now? Do you think it'd be easier to pull that off now, or once landing spots happen, do you think that people might be like, yeah, I'm actually fine with Kenneth Walker at 103?
Well, that's a really good question, because I think that there's benefits and disadvantages to it right now, right? Like the benefit is that people are thinking about Breece Hall as this like locked in, right? The disadvantage is that what happens if Breece Hall goes to Houston, like I mentioned earlier, where I think he would still be really good, but I don't know if that offense is going to support him the same way that it would Buffalo, right? The advantage to it holding onto that pick until you know landing spot would be that, okay, he ends up in Buffalo. Now you have, okay, even at that point, then I might be like, okay, I'll take Breece Hall with the 101 because he ended up in Buffalo, right? So I think that's the kind of what you have to weigh it out as is it worth trading him now and potentially missing out that I, you know, Breece Hall landed in Buffalo, or because really it's Buffalo. And then where else is he going to go that's going to deliver that like locked in top 10 upside? Otherwise, it's Atlanta, which is a rebuilding offense. It's Houston, which is a, you know, rebuilding offense. And then outside of that, like, I just don't know what other team is going to spend a second round pick on Breece Hall.
Yeah, I agree. Kyle, I appreciate your time so much. I'm going to let you push yourself a little bit again before we get out of here. That's at KyleNFL on Twitter. Be sure to check out the Fantasy Playbook where he's putting all that through. $10 a month, correct? That's 30 cents a day.
Yeah. So there's a couple of tiers there on the Patreon. There's $5 a month, gets you access into the premium Discord, which has over 50 people at this point. They're doing mock drafts together. They're joining dynasty leagues together. They're talking dynasty trades in there. And then also that gets you access into doing some mock drafts with me over on the YouTube channel there. I'll be doing some Discord stages in there. So a ton of time in the $5 a month tier. $10 a month gets you access into all the written content. You can find all this information, though, over at KyleYNFL over on Twitter. Make sure to check that out in the Fantasy Playbook wherever you listen to podcasts.
Love it. I appreciate you. I am at Swagzilla0G. This is at Rookie Fever, and we are out. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. Fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you gong on a treat you ride. Rookie fever, when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the 101 scouting? He's never done this to before and run. I told you anyone, silence speak just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, when's this breakout? A full rookie fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet.
Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon.
Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and she got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever.
Thank God for the fever.
Now you got the fever.
What a lovely way you burn.
Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever.